At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that says no matter what others try to sell you, it is about both the destination and the journey. It's SIFPOP. Welcome to SIFPOP, available in your podcast feed every Monday, unless, of course, you're a patron.
Because patrons get perks.
Patrons get those perks.
Woo!
I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and he's here to put on nice clothes and dance around and enjoy the things that are not in our reality. It's Andrew Ormsby, ladies and gentlemen.
Ahoy!
And we find her conversation persuasive and intellectually stimulating. It's Susan Kamyab Stevens!
Hi!
Welcome back, Susan. Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good to be back. It's been a while.
Each week we'll chat about movies, TV, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. How have things been for you? How's been the last, you know, little bit for you?
Been good. Just busy. Work's busy. And crazy movie stuff, obviously.
Yeah,
it's that time of year.
It's been interesting, the award season and the impact of the LA fires and you know how that's impacted everybody. And you know, it's one of those things for like you and I, we're like, oh yeah, it's a bummer that, you know, we can't land on an awards date and we don't know when we're going. And then you put it in perspective and go,
oh, yeah,
it's okay. Like, it's not about us.
Absolutely. No, I said that to so many of my friends that were like, I'm so sorry your trip got canceled. I was like, y'all, I am okay. I feel bad for the people losing their houses. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And there are more and more stories coming out every day. I think I just saw something from Meryl Streep who said she basically had to cut through a fence to, you know, get away from the fire. Like she was in an action movie or something. And just I think you're going to hear more and more about how insane that Palisades part of everything was. And it will be, I think they're already saying it's the most expensive natural disaster in the history of America. And a lot of that has to do with the property that was destroyed was so expensive. But, obviously, you know, our hearts are with the people who actually had losses, genuine losses, as opposed to us just not getting to go to, you know, an award show when we thought we were going. So, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Speaking of award shows, try to get a couple awards contenders in under the wire here for review today. We're going to talk about The Brutalist, which is nominated for several Academy Awards, and Sing Sing, which didn't get a Best Picture nom. I actually had this on the schedule because I thought it would pick up a Best Picture nom. Mm-hmm. Then when it didn't, I briefly considered changing maybe to one of the movies that had. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe we need to talk about Sing Sing even more because it didn't get a Best Picture nom. So we went ahead and left it on the schedule. We're going to talk about those things, do a best ever challenge with movies that have repeated words in the title, which should be a lot of fun. But we're going to kick it off with some buried treasure. What is that one thing in any area of pop culture that you want to make sure people know about? Susan, kick us off.
So this is a movie, I can't remember the year it came out off the top of my head, but this is a movie that I saw rewatched recently on, it's on Amazon Prime right now. It's called Timer. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of it. It has the girl who was in, she was in Buffy as Anya, if you guys are Buffy fans, but basically I just love, obviously I'm a rom-com fan, but I really love a great like thought-provoking concept, and this one is all about how like what if we lived in a world where you could get this technology where you kind of like you stick in a timer in your wrist and it'll count down the time before you're going to meet your soulmate. And so all those people, and the first time I watched it, I was single. And so when you're single, it's kind of like no big deal. But what if you did this timer when you were already in a relationship and the person you were like married to or with is not your person? So like in the film, people like divorce or, and it really kind of questions that whole thing of like, do you believe in soulmates? Is this thing right? Anyways, it sounds, I promise you, it's really good. I feel like it's like this like hidden gem that never got like a whole lot of love. It's an independent film, but it's really great.
It sounds like, I think there's an episode of Black Mirror that has a very similar concept to this. I could be wrong. But I know I've seen this concept before and I don't think I've seen this movie. So, it's very interesting.
This was before Black Mirror. So I will tell you that that was, I almost want to look up the year now, 2009.
Yeah.
I think you might be the second person who's recommended this movie now.
So, really? Someone else recommended it?
I believe it's been a best ever challenge on the channel before. Not that that's a bad thing or anything. I'm just saying that must mean that there's something to it, because if people are recommending it enough.
Seriously, watch it. It's an hour and 39 minutes. It'll fly by, and it's just one of those thought-provoking rom-coms.
Where did you find it on?
It's on Prime. Originally, when I watched it, it was on Netflix. It bounced around, kind of. It's one of those ones that, like, bounced. And for a while, I wasn't on any streaming, and I was devastated because it's – I don't think you can really buy it on – I, like, want to get it off Amazon, but I don't know if it's an easy one to get. But it's really just – I'm in love with the – the idea, the concept.
Very nice. I'll go next. I finally got around to seeing The Outpost, which, Andrew, I think you've raved about on the show before, back when it came out a couple years ago. I had my usual cognitive dissonance that I have with war films, you know, like with my own opinions of war and my pacifism and those kind of things. But it is a pretty incredible story in and of itself, right? And that's one of the things that I really like when a movie lets me know about something that happened that I hadn't really studied or really knew much about. And this follows a group of soldiers who are at an outpost that is just a poorly defended and placed outpost, if I'm being honest. And in fact, this whole story led to changes, I think, with how the military actually does its outposts in other countries when we're engaged in conflict. But it's about how this small group of soldiers defended this outpost against a massive attack. And it is moving. It is, all the characters are the actual people. The characters who are playing actual people are well defined, and you know, it's one of those war movies that you watch and come away from with an interesting concept of what is valor, what is, you know, bravery, all those kind of things. And of course, I come away going, why is any of this necessary? And that is certainly a philosophical question that would take much longer to discuss here. But as far as the movie, it's really well done, and it is engaging from start to finish. So I thought I would mention The Outpost. It's available on VOD if you want to check it out. It's from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think that the performances are really authentic. And like you said, it feels genuine. And I think that's because they got so many people who were actually there at this outpost to corroborate and collaborate on this project to make sure it was as authentic as possible. And I've actually heard people who in the military say that while it may not be like the most... it may not be a masterpiece when it comes to a war film like Hacksaw Ridge or Saving Private Ryan or any of these, but they say that, or Hurt Locker, but they say that when it comes to authentic portrayals of what war in Afghanistan was like, this is one of the most authentic films out there when it comes to that.
Yeah, that feels right.
It's good.
Andrew, what do you got?
I'm going to break the chain here. I'm going to go with a book, not a movie. I'm going to go with Be Useful by Arnold Schwarzenegger. So it's kind of a movie or adjacent. This is a self-help positive thinking book written by Arnold, and it outlines what he believes are the cornerstone values of his life that led to his many, many successes. I've always found Arnold to be one of the most fascinating figures of my time. I've always found him to be very inspirational in his successes and his failures, because he's been very open about the failures and the shortcomings of his life, you know, like with his affair and everything like that. He actually talks about that in this book, like he doesn't want to shy away from his mistakes any more than he wants to shy away from his successes, because they help define you. The book it outlines the values of true hard work and how certain mindsets are vital to achieving your dreams. Now, it's obviously not the first self-help book out there, and there are many out there that you may think that are more qualified to do this than Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I found his approach to this book to be understandable, direct, and inspirational, most of all. Because if you look at his life from the beginning to where he ended up, I'm sure that you would find out that his story is unlike any other. He came from a house in a small town in Austria that had no plumbing or running water or anything like, or heating, anything like that. And by the time he was 19, he was a self-made millionaire because he invested in real estate that allowed him to do the Mr. Olympia and to do the action movies that he wanted to do. He didn't have to take the roles of the buff Nazi and Hogan's Heroes and stuff like that that he was constantly offered. He got to choose his projects and stuff. So yeah, it's a book that outlines his life and the values that he found along the way.
Nice. He's an interesting dude, Schwarzenegger. He's a fun one to kind of follow. So that should be an interesting book. All right, let's move into the big dig, shall we? Let's talk a little bit about The Brutalist.
Tell me, why is an accomplished foreign architect shoveling coal here in Philadelphia?
I'm afraid it is not so simple. There was a war on, and yet many of the sites of my projects had survived. My buildings were devised to endure such erosion of shoreline.
Escaping post-war Europe, visionary architect Laszlo Toth arrives in America to rebuild his life, his work, and his marriage to his wife, Erzsébet, after being forced apart during wartime by shifting borders and regimes. On his own, in a strange new country, Laszlo settles in Pennsylvania, where the wealthy and prominent industrialist Harrison Lee Van Buren recognizes his talent for building, but power and legacy come at a heavy cost. This is certainly one of the biggest Oscar contenders of the year. Will be fighting for Best Picture. We shall see. But what did you guys think about it? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay? Andrew, start us off.
I liked it.
Susan, did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
Dislike it.
Ooh. Disliked it.
Yep.
I'm going high side of just okay, maybe low side of liked it. So we'll have some good discussion here. But Andrew, you seem to like it the most. So why don't you give us some of your general thoughts first?
And I thought I was going to be on the low end of the spectrum with a just liked it. So this is fascinating.
Well, I'm already happy that you guys weren't like, I love it. So
yeah. There are things to love in this movie. Now that you bring that up, I think that the cinematography in this is outstanding. The use of, and by the way, Brutalist, I thought was going to be a character trait for Adrian Brody's character, Laszlo, but Brutalist is actually a architecture style from the 1940s and 50s. It's concrete. It's very minimalistic. So the Brutalist has this interesting title because there are some things about Adrian Brody's character, Laszlo, that are brutal. He's brutally honest. He's brutal to his own body and the way that he treats himself. So it's a very interesting double meaning title. But yeah, I think that the movie is a great story about adversity and how kind of like how I was just talking about, hard work is what is required to fulfill your dreams, and you can't let the naysayers treat you badly or change who you are. I just thought that there was some really good things, and it has an intermission. It's a 4-hour movie that has an intermission, which is great.
It is great. In fact, in my Letterboxd review, I said it deserves a full extra star just for having an intermission in the middle. More movies need to start doing this. I mean, maybe more movies need to just start being shorter, but you know, if they are longer, intermission helps. I think I would probably land on the low side of liked it. I think there's enough skill and technical achievement here that I was kind of blown away watching it. And in my initial review, I think I was higher on it, but said that I needed to still keep like processing it because it deals with so many characters and themes. And, you know, again, it's a beefy, long, epic kind of film. And the more I processed it, the less I could really find in it. And also, the more I realized I don't have really much desire at all to watch this movie again. Like, there's nothing there's nothing about it that's drawing me back into it. I get it as like an artistic piece, like this thing that is being, you know, metaphorically, the movie is the architecture in many ways. It is this brutalist piece of just like putting you in something and seeing all the edges and the, you know, the moments and going through it. And so as that, I understand the artistic value and interest, but sometimes you can, you know, watch a piece of art and go, yeah, that's a piece of art, but it just doesn't speak to me apparently like it's speaking to everybody else. And I think that's where I'm kind of landing with this one. I do like that it has something to say about the devastation it takes to actually create. Like, you know, there is this idea that creation is this magical process, that art is this magical process of rainbows and unicorns, and it just happens. And, you know, that great art is just a natural expression of, you know, humanity, but that there really is something constructive about great art often as well, and that there is cost to it, there is consequence to it. And I think that's what the movie is about. But again, the more I sink into it, the less I'm finding anything beyond that. And maybe that's enough. And it probably is for a lot of people. But for me, I was hoping to sink in and find maybe a little bit more here. And it's just, I don't know. And I keep coming back to, yeah, that was beautiful art. I have no desire to see it again. And that means something, I think. Susan, what are your general thoughts?
I mean, I agree with you guys on the cinematography. I would say that probably stops there for me. I thought story-wise, it was a little all over the place, especially for a film being fictional, like an original screenplay. I don't understand why it had to be nearly 4 hours. You know, I watched it at home, so the intermission was 1 minute for me. I kind of wished it was longer, but it was... I don't know. I just didn't like y'all's explanation of it is probably being like is better than what I was like what it executed, I guess. It didn't articulate much to me. Like, I know it was trying to make me feel something, but I almost felt like it was a little too pretentious. Like, it was just way too artsy, I guess, like you said, like kind of what you were saying, Aaron. I just and I went into it fully like open-minded, like, okay, this is going to be really great. And I didn't even think Guy Pearce really stood out for me as anything that great. There's a shift in the second act where it really goes like all off the rails for me. Like, I don't even feel tonally it kept going. And I almost feel the last quarter, it was rushed. There's a point, something that Felicity Jones does that was just kind of like, I mean, I'll just say it's a confrontation that she does that was completely unearned, in my opinion. And I mean, I know I'm not trying to get spoilers, but just it was random. It was very random. And I was feeling her moment at all. And I was like, whoa, this is how we're talking about this. And the, like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like the writing was very irresponsible here. And they were focusing so much on like artistic shots and moments versus piecing together a real story. And I'm baffled that it could get original screenplay. I'm baffled that it could get best directing, let alone best picture. Like, this is the number one like movie to probably get best picture. I will be surprised if it doesn't win at the Oscars. And you know, I can't say this happens every year. There's movies that I like that other people don't like. So if it wins, whatever. But I don't get it. That's essentially like my thing for Brutalist. That's probably my slogan is I don't get it.
Well, and I will say Brady Corbet, who is the director, previously directed Vox Lux, which I hated. Just like, I just didn't like, pretentious was my key takeaway from that movie. And it was handling a subject matter that I felt deserved a lot more nuance and attention than the movie, and a different tone than the movie gave it. But I do think there is something that Corbet wants to do to be seen as an artiste, right? Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I think we need people who want to create and do weird things, but the idea that this movie is a metaphor for his own creative process is just layered on so clumsily, in my opinion, at times, that it's hard for me to appreciate it as I might a different metaphorical film. You know, like you say, like, you know, everything that we say to that we didn't like about this movie, Corbet could say, yes, but that is the point, because people didn't like that about Laszlo either. And it's like, okay, fine, but that doesn't make it a better movie, I guess. I don't, you know.
At the end of the day, you're making a movie for entertainment purposes. And yes, you can have a message in there, but there has to be something that the audience has to grab onto.
Well, yeah. There doesn't have to be, but you have to understand when people don't connect to it, right? Like, you can make a movie for whatever reason you want to. And honestly, if you can get the financing to make a movie you want to make for yourself, that's, you know, for you, go for it. Congratulations. But then there is a level of consequence to that, you know, as far as the audience reaction might be. But anyways.
And I mean, did you guys even like, didn't the very end feel like off too?
Oh, like I didn't like the epilogue at all.
Like, the end was terrible. I was like me and my husband watched it and we were just like, what? Like, I don't know. I seriously am confused by the love for this. That I mean, you put this against a movie like Conclave and I don't even know how it's in the even compared.
I agree.
Even compared.
I agree.
Yeah. It's definitely an art house film. Yeah. And that art house films always get the love from the academies and the awards contenders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Any
final thoughts on The Brutalist?
Save yourself 4 hours.
Susan, you talked about the randomness of the Felicity Jones moment there. I would actually say that the catalyst for that moment, the one that involves Guy Pearce and Adrian Brody in an alleyway, I found equally random unearned. And it made me go, wait, where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself trying to convince myself of moments that led up to it that made me go, well, maybe this actually meant this. Yeah. And maybe this actually meant this. And whenever Guy Pearce was saying this, there was actually subtext there. I don't know if that's me trying to convince myself of this movie making sense, or if that's just some fourth level chess that's beyond me.
No, I'm so glad you said that, because when I was watching it, I thought it was going somewhere completely different. And then when that happened, I was like, what? And it was kind of the same thing. In the moment, I was like, maybe, just like I feel like the people who are raving about this are almost convincing themselves. Like, this feels like a movie you're supposed to love. Like, the high reviews and everything. Like, I'm just like, you guys want to rip apart Emilia Perez, but don't be like hypocritical. Like, this is not a perfect film. Like, this should be on the same score thing, because this is a mess in my opinion. And in those moments, like what you just said in the alleyway, that was not earned. That was random. I even going back, I was like, nothing led up to that unless I completely missed it.
No. I think the movie wants us to believe that Guy Pearce sees something in Laszlo that nobody else sees. But for it to lead to that moment is just so, I guess the best phrase is unearned. We've used it, but I think it's unearned.
It is unearned. I would have rather, what I thought he was doing was going to try to like maybe have him like cheat on his wife. Like that would have made more sense to me, like maybe just jealous of his life. But that to go to that route, it just was like, I don't know. It just unearned.
My final thought is that of all the Oscars that The Brutalist is nominated for and in the awards attention it's getting, the one I am most on board with is Adrien Brody. I do think he's good in the movie. He wasn't in my top 10 performances of the year. I think there are many other better performances this year, but I do love seeing Adrien Brody doing stuff like this because he's an incredible actor. And, you know, I think he, for many people, peaked early with his Oscar win. And it's nice to see him kind of back in the mix because I do think he's incredible. So that would be my one last thing. Well, there you go. That is The Brutalist. We aren't as high on it as everybody else, but it's sure pretty to look at. So, you know.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
All right, before we head on to our other review, let's do the best ever challenge. Best ever repeating word movies. These are movies that have a repeating word in the title. Now, I did not specify any exclusions. However, I would hope we wouldn't be picking things that have, you know, like War of the Planet of the Apes, you know, like ofs and thes and, you know, whatever. And if you did, that's fine. Listen, no judgment. I just tried to do like actual, you know, non-article repeating words. So we will go round robin and nominate the films that we want on this list. Let's each do four since there's three of us. Susan, why don't you kick us off? What's the first nomination?
50-50.
Good choice. Good choice.
Such a good movie.
A few words about it.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I was just supposed to the title. Well, I mean, that's one of my, probably in my top 10 films of all time. I'm not usually a big fan of movies about like cancer, just because I don't want to like I usually avoid it. I'm like, oh, I don't want to like get my heart broken.
Cancer's
like,
scary, man. I don't want to be thinking about cancer. My wife works on an oncology floor. Like it's, you know, she has to think about it every day.
It's funny because like I had bought Fault in Our Stars a while back and I was like, why did I own this? I got rid of it. So I'm never going to rewatch it. This is just like it. I, you know, like it's gutting me. However, 50-50, and it's based on a true story, is so lighthearted. Like it's actually a fun rewatch. Like Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt have amazing chemistry. It's hilarious the whole way through. There's really great points about his relationships, his friendship with Seth Rogen is touched on, his, you know, crappy girlfriend. One of my favorite scenes is when Seth Rogen like catches her cheating and how he's like, I've hated you for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I just like very vindicated by that. But I mean, in general, it's just, I mean, there's still moments that's going to make you cry, but you know, it's uplifting. Maybe that's obviously spoiler alert. There's a happy ending there. But I just think it's like very well written. All the moments are in there. It's a great film.
Good choice. Andrew, what do you got? What's your first nomination?
Let's go with Gone Baby Gone.
Mm-hmm.
I had that on my list. That's great.
Let's talk about how brutal we were talking about the brutalist. Let's talk about how brutal this movie is. The subject matter, the performances are very authentic and brutal. I think that Casey Affleck is where he does his best work. And I think that if we can get Ben Affleck back to directing movies like this, then I think that we will be in good shape if those two things happen.
He excels as a director, in my opinion.
I believe he does.
Yeah, he's great.
That's a great ending to a movie, too, when you talk about I love like a movie that leaves you with this like realistic idea of like, what would you do?
Yeah,
exactly.
And that is one I'll never forget. That's such a great film.
Yep. It's the ultimate conundrum movie. I call those conundrum movies where you walk away going, what would I do?
Because there's technically no right answer, but there's also no wrong answer.
I would have done what Michelle Monaghan wanted to do.
Well, I guess that makes it the right answer then, since Susan wouldn't have done it that way.
There we go. No, you're right, Andrew.
I think that's what makes a good conundrum movie, is the fact that it's hard to determine what is the right answer and what is the wrong answer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw Liar Liar on the list right away. It is one of my top movies of all time. I think I've said many, many times that this was the movie that I realized Jim Carrey was a capital A actor, not just a goofball, which is interesting for some people because this is in his goofball phase, but he does stuff in this movie that is so authentic and so human amongst the shenanigans that he really kind of blew me away. Liar Liar is on the list for me.
Perfect dad energy in that movie too. Yes. Interacting with his kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gotta love the claw.
It's a great movie.
All right, Susan, what's your next nom?
Win-Win.
Nice.
Love that movie. That's probably in my top 20. I just think that's another great one. Easily my favorite Paul Giamatti, playing Paul Giamatti film. because he's usually the same character in every movie. But I love the premise. I just think there's a really great message there about, parenting and also like how to provide for your family, the right way to go about it. And that has another like great conundrum, I guess you could say, of what to do. But it's just really sweet. I thought it was funny as well. So I love screenplays like that.
Yeah, Win-Win is great. And in way underseen, more people should see Win-Win.
They should. I just added it to my list.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Oh my God, you'll be so happy.
I love Paul Giamatti, so that's all you had to say. Not gonna lie.
You'll love it.
Andrew, what's your next nomination?
Let's go with Run, Lola, Run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Foreign language film, German, I believe. This has an amazing soundtrack. The way that it plays with, I guess, not the Rashomon technique, because that's the same story told from different perspectives. This is multiple versions of the same story being told with different outcomes to try and find the most idealistic outcome. Very high stakes, very intense movie. I think that the young woman who plays Lola is amazing. She's totally believable. And yeah, like I said, that soundtrack just hits hard. It's so good.
Yeah, I agree. It is Franca Potente that plays Lola in that movie, and she is amazing. This is 1998, and it really feels like it could have been in 2008 or 2012. Like it feels ahead of itself as far as the energy, the way it uses music and those kind of things. So. I will say the original title does not have a repeating word. The German title is Lola Rent, which just means
Lola Runs.
Lola Runs. But yes, the English title does fit for sure. My next nominee will be The Way, Way Back.
Love that movie.
Yeah, one of my favorites. Just a real slice of life, coming of age movie with lots of pathos and just a really there's a nice sense of humor to it. It's a good watch and a good rewatch. So yeah, if you haven't checked out The Way, Way Back, that is my second nomination.
I own that one too.
Yeah. Susan, what's your next nom?
This one's a little different. Jungle to Jungle with Tim Allen. While I was pregnant, I was on this kick of watching like the nostalgic kid movies I watched, or whatever movies I watched as a kid, and seeing which ones hold up to eventually hopefully show my son. And Jungle to Jungle will definitely be one of those. It's corny. It's such a 90s, like, you know, that era with Casper and all that stuff, but it's still so sweet. It's just like, I don't know, it's just another great parenting one. And I don't know, it's silly, but it's a fun one. Did y'all ever watch it?
I don't think I've ever seen this.
I have. It's great. Did you like it? Martin Short's hilarious in this movie.
Yeah, Martin Short is funny in that one. Yeah,
it's like I with said, the fish. When he cooks the fish, I'm going to have to do it like this because he follows my finger.
Yeah. it's cute. It's really cute. It's a family-friendly one, but there's romance. I was always a sucker for the films where, like, you know, kind of like a Parent Trap. Not that this is Parent Trap, but they're not together. And then, like, oh, they're going to find their way back and through this kid, so... It's, I don't know. There's a lot of elements to it, but it's overall just a fun family film that I don't think they make movies like this for kids anymore. Like, it's just not the same quality. It's been more about quantity. And so they've sacrificed like good stories and good acting. Same with like the television series that kids are watching. We were very blessed to what we had like before, like 2005 or something.
Yep. I agree.
Well, there you go.
Or maybe Jungle we to Jungle. Just appreciated it because we were that age and everything was just perfect.
Right.
Of course.
Right. Nothing bad could ever happen to you when you're 12 years old. That's your mindset.
It's true.
Well, that's some people's mindset. Other people have traumatic childhoods and think that bad things are going to continue to happen to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, everybody has a different experience growing up, which is something I've learned coming from my very, very, very privileged experience growing up. So Andrew, what is your next nominee?
If it counts, I'm going to go with La La Land.
Yeah, why wouldn't it count?
Because it's technically not a word, it's an acronym. So
You think it's Spanish for the land?
No, I think it's Los Angeles, Los Angeles land.
There you go.
But no. Great movie. I think that Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling have unmatched chemistry, not just in this movie, but just in all of their movies.
Just crazy in all of the world. There's never been two people with as good a chemistry as Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
They're just beautiful people, and seeing them both on screen at the same time is just nice. There's nothing wrong with it. But they do have not only great romantic chemistry, but also just chemistry, just straight up chemistry. I think that they know how to laugh with each other. I know they know how to cry with each other. They're just two authentic people. And I think that the story of La La Land, while beautiful, is tragic. But I think that realism that hits you at the end of this movie is something that not everybody appreciates. Is it Alice who's not a fan of La La Land?
I have several, including Alice, I have several friends who hate this movie because of the ending.
Yeah.
This is an ending? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because, if correct me if I'm wrong, and I think that a lot of people don't like the ending in this movie because it...
Well, it's simple.
Everything leading up to it is so magical and whimsical. Mm-hmm. And then there's a reality strike at the end of this movie, which I appreciate, but it is a tonal shift in the movie.
I don't know that it's a tonal shift. I think it's exactly the place this movie is going the entire time. I think really? This is a movie about finding the beauty in the unexpected pain. You know, like it is about understanding life as a series of you know, beautiful tragedies, and being able to, you know, talk about journey and destination, to understand the journey and the destination aren't always intertwined in the way that you think they are. But yeah, I think the pieces are laid throughout this movie for, you know, what it is saying and what the eventual ending will be. I have friends who vehemently hate this movie because, you know, they think that it's supposed to end a different way.
I didn't mind the ending. I just thought, like, the in-between was a little slow for me, but that was about it.
Well, this will be the last time you're on a review episode of Sif Pop then, Susan.
Me too.
All right. I guess then it's for me. I will nominate another Run movie, Run Fat Boy Run, which is Simon Pegg, and is really funny and really heartfelt and an underseen Pegg performance that I would love for more people to check out. Run Fat Boy Run is really good.
I never saw it, but I should.
Yeah, check it out. Susan, what's your final nomination?
Let me make sure. It's 40 Days and 40 Nights, the one with Josh Hartnett. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch that?
Sure.
Yeah, I really liked that movie too, kind of when I was younger. I rewatch it every once in a while. It's kind of one of those, to me, solid, when rom-coms were actually coming out in theaters and they were good. This was a unique concept. And I really liked Shannon Sossaman. I think that was her name. I always thought she was like such a, I loved her in A Knight's Tale and stuff. So I really liked seeing her when she was around. I think it's another one that has a unique, I like rom-coms that try to break the mold with like something a little different. So this, I don't even know if we've seen any, maybe we have, but that I haven't seen this story unfold where somebody has to, that's their thing they're giving up for Lent, is sex.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 40 Days and 40 Nights. Let's see, Andrew, what's your final nomination?
Going all the way back to when I was a childhood movie of mine. Let's go with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh.
Very nice.
Dick Van Dyke, Sally Ann Howes, Lionel Jeffries, and Benny Hill. Just fun. Just a good, happy time. I just remember watching this and Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Those were the two movies I watched growing up that I was like, yay! When did this come out? 65-ish, somewhere around there. I know it was a mid to late 60s movie. But fun inventor with a fun vehicle.
I agree. In fact, it was my last nomination. So now I'm going to have to swerve, as it
were. Well, I'll tell you that Jungle to Jungle was my last nomination. And so took it.
Cool.
No, I've got a couple options. I've got a couple options here. I'm going to go with Kramer versus Kramer. Speaking of relationship movies, I think this is a really authentic, powerful watch. It is the pre-marriage story, marriage story in many ways, and very, very good. So good performances, worth a watch. I can easily throw that on for my last.
Wait, Meryl Streep gives a good performance?
No, I'm not kidding. You'd be surprised. So it was either going to be Kramer versus Kramer or Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is nice because it has two words repeated in the title. I decided to go with Kramer versus Kramer. Any other honorable mentions you guys want to throw out that you were thinking of?
Oh, I had to pivot from Gone Baby Gone, but that was it.
Yeah. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Probably worth mentioning. It's a very funny movie.
That is a funny movie.
Let's see. Julia Roberts, princess movie Mirror, Mirror. Anybody enjoy that one?
No, not really.
Tora, Tora, Tora. That's a well-respected film, war movie. So.
Oh, yeah, that's the Japanese plane movie, mm-hmm. World War II plane movie. Yeah.
Yep. Richard Pryor, See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Probably one worth mentioning as well. So, yeah, there are a few out there. All right. Now is the job to pick the best of this list and to agree unanimously on what we will call the best repeating word movie. Where are you leaning, guys?
Three. There's three that I'm looking at right now. Gone Baby Gone, La La Land, and Liar Liar.
I would go with Gone Baby Gone. That was kind of where my head was going.
All right. Gone Baby Gone is the best movie with repeating words in the title. Congratulations to Ben Affleck. Your award will be arriving in the imaginary mail. All right. Let's get to our final review. The final artifact available on VOD. Let's talk about Sing Sing.
This is a clemency hearing for your conviction, 25 to life. Since you've been in custody, you've been involved in a theater program.
All right, gentlemen, let's go.
It's been a program that was established to help people get more in touch with their feelings and truly get some rehabilitation.
I am Gladiator Goliath.
I am Spartacus.
I'm Prince Hamlet of Denmark.
And it's turned into something, I don't know, wonderful.
Divine G, imprisoned at Sing Sing for a crime he didn't commit, finds purpose by acting in a theater group alongside other incarcerated men in this story of resilience, humanity, and the transformative power of art. Sing Sing is an A24 film, stars Coleman Domingo, who we've given a lot of love on the show for his performance. What did you guys think of Sing Sing as a movie? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay? Susan, start us off.
I like it as a movie. Yes.
Likes it as a movie. Interesting clarifier. I wasn't asking how you felt about it as a Danish pastry.
I'll say something else about it, but as a movie, liked it.
All right. Intrigued. Andrew, like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
Absolutely loved it
from Andrew. I am on the high side. I liked it on this one. Andrew, once again, you are the lover of film. Yes. So what are your general thoughts on Sing Sing?
Man, Coleman Domingo is good. Oh, he's so good. I brought this up. Well, I guess the 50s haven't come out yet. We've recorded the 50s. They just haven't come out yet.
They will have come out by the time anybody is hearing this.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Well, so whenever we were talking about this movie during the 50s, I brought up the fact that Coleman Domingo's performance is very unique in the fact that you see this a lot in movies where even professional actors, and it's just because it's natural for human beings, whenever you have a conversation with somebody, it's normal to go, my dialogue, your dialogue, my dialogue, your dialogue. But in this, Coleman Domingo has a very unique aspect to his character where he takes time to respond to somebody. Somebody will say something to him. He'll think about it. He'll take time. He'll process it. And then he will give you his response. And it's not like it's not anxiety inducing anything. And if anything, it's more calming because you feel as though he's taking the time to process what you're telling him, to articulate a great response and then help you with whatever it is that you need help with. It's a very caring performance. It's a very beautiful, beautiful performance. And it's also a very heartbreaking performance. And from as much as I'm talking about Coleman Domingo, it may seem as though I'm saying that this movie rests upon his shoulders, but it really doesn't. I think that Clarence Macklin, Sean Jose, and Paul Racy are also giving incredible performances. Just all around, it's a very believable movie that has a lot of heart to it.
Susan, some thoughts?
So when I was saying the whole thing about as a movie, I liked it. It's because I loved Coleman Domingo. Coleman Domingo, if he was not in this, I don't know how, like, his performance was my favorite male performance of the year. I actually originally wanted him to win the best actor. It doesn't look like it's going to go that way. So I have to, like, you know, I'm rooting for somebody else. Not that I wouldn't be happy if Coleman won, but he was everything you said, Andrew. Like, he was just so good. And, like, the scene when he's talking to the people trying to get out and stuff, like, I mean, I can't with that, just because he's conveying every emotion he's supposed to with those words and his face. But realistically, do I want to rewatch Sing Sing like a lot? Like, it's story wise, it's good. I appreciate that it's like real people who were like prisoners and stuff. And I do agree about Clarence. He was fantastic. But I mean, I just feel like the movie was like solid. I guess I just wasn't like below when I went into it. I think I had too high of expectations. That might have been part of it. Mm. The only thing that really stood out was like, whoa, Coleman Domingo is really good. Story wise, movie, I was like, ah, it's a good like concept and great. I love that they have this program in the prison. I think that it's really important. But yeah, I don't think it was anything like, I'm not surprised it didn't get Best Picture. And I, not that I wouldn't have been happy for it, but I'm not surprised.
What I really love about this movie is it touches on something that has been very meaningful in my own life, which is the power that art plays within community. Okay. So, we know the power of art. We've seen stories about the power of art many times and how it can bring you out of things, how it can give you optimism and hope and joy and, you know, these wonderful things, and all that stuff is here. But it's speaking about it specifically in the context of community, of a group of people who are going through the same thing, who are, aware of their community in a very specific way. And I think there's something really connective and powerful about that made my heart sing throughout this movie. It also is a testament to the fact that feel-good movies don't have to feel good the entire time. This movie doesn't feel good the entire time, but it is a feel good movie. Like you come out of it with a joyful, optimistic perspective on, like I said, what art can do within a specific community. And I found that really meaningful. And so for me, beyond the Domingo performance, which, by the way, it's time to give Coleman his propers. Like, it's just performance after performance after performance. And it's just he's so good. I also felt that way. And yes, I'm going to bring this up again about Marianne Jean-Baptiste in Hard Truths and the fact that she's not even nominated for an award. Like, it is time.
She was your number one of the year too.
She was my number one performance of the year. I think it may be one of the best performances of the decade, if you pushed me on it. I think she's incredible in that movie. And she is someone else who deserves their propers. Like, how does Marianne Jean-Baptiste not have an Oscar? How is Coleman Domingo year after year giving these performances and not winning these awards? So it really kind of feels like one of those movies, one of those performances. It is not in the like strong loved it category for me, just because I think the inexperience of some of the actors shows, which is fine. That's okay. Like, I like that it connects to the story. I like that the story of this actual program is integrated into this movie in that way. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I'll just say it distracted me at times, and that is what it is. That's just the truth. And so I think that is probably what keeps it from being just an absolute home run for me. But on a message level, on an experiential level, on authenticity level, I found it captivating and beautiful. So, yeah, I loved it.
Maybe the fact that I've seen projects where they've had the actual people from the experience portray themselves in the movie or the TV show, the fact that I've seen that done before, maybe that's why I didn't find it that distracting. That these moments where you have these people who really live the experience, and you know the act, and then there's footage of the actual experience. Maybe that's why it doesn't take me out.
Yeah, maybe. What else? What else? Any other thoughts on Sing Sing?
I really don't want to go to prison.
Yeah.
Fair.
No, I don't know. I mean, I could rave about Coleman Domingo all day. I mean, there's so many moments that really stood out for him in that film. And I agree with you. I don't know how he doesn't get his dues. Like, this was one when I watched it, I was like, oh yeah, he's going to be unmatched here. But then, like, for me, I think Coleman Domingo is another one that, like, I would easily pick over Adrian Brody. Because he got me. Like, I connected and felt for him. Adrian Brody was good, but I don't know if I connected to, you know, because I couldn't connect to the story, so I didn't really feel any of his emotions and stuff like that. I could really, then again, this is a tough category just because Ralph Fiennes and I think Timothée Chalamet was outstanding. So it's just, I don't know. It's just a he keeps getting put in like the toughest years, but I don't want his role, his performance should not be minimized, though. I hope people like realize that he is just on par with all of these.
I had him personally as my number one performance of the year. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he is good. I will say my final thing about this movie is that it deals with masculinity in interesting ways in this movie, and the idea of art, you know, versus masculinity, the idea of how prison impacts masculinity, the idea of what it means to be a man, some of those things, some of those conversations between Coleman and other participants in the program, I think are really powerful, and was the other thing that stood out to me about this movie. So good stuff. Sing Sing, I think we all would say, is a definite recommend. If you haven't checked it out, make sure that you do. Well, that's it, guys. We did it. We did a podcast. I will say before we finish up, by the time this comes out, the Spossker's picks should be available for you. You should be available to choose your Oscar choices for big live Spossker's night broadcast. So, yeah, that's coming up quicker than you would think. So head to sifpop.com, click on where it says Spossker's and make your picks. We'll have a good time that night. And you can see how you do up against all the quote unquote experts, because that's what we are. We're experts. Go to sifpop.com to check that out. Thank you so much for joining us today for Sif Pop. Huge thanks to Andrew for hanging out again today.
Thank you, buddy.
Big thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you to Susan Kamyab Stevens for coming by again. Susan, where do you want people to check you out at?
You can just either thischicksflicks.com or at thischicksflicks on Instagram socials.
This Chicks Flicks, X for chicks and X for flicks, .com is where you can check out that. Thank you to our members, our SifPop members. Appreciate you as well. That's all at Patreon, patreon.com/SifPop. Support starts at $3 a month. We appreciate everybody who takes the time to do that. You can connect with us in several ways. Leave a rating, a review, or a comment at iTunes, or Apple Podcasts as it is now, or Spotify, or wherever you listen. You can also email us at feedback@sifpop.com. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the show too. So let them know about it, and that listening is much easier than timing your intermission break perfectly. We will be back with a couple more special episodes leading up to the Spossker's, and we will see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.